Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, May the 11th. Coming up, find out why students at a school in Kent are being trained to be wellbeing ambassadors.
The aim really is just to give someone a confidence that they can start engaging in a conversation about mental health. We are, as human beings, terrified that we're going to put our foot in it.
There's disappointment as an air show in the county is cancelled.
There's a statement from the organisers who say they've failed to alleviate concerns raised by the Civil Aviation Authority.
And one of the biggest names in golf is in Kent today for a tournament to promote the sport for people with disabilities.
Elite disabled golf is at a level where we think it should be championed. And Colin Montgomery's been very kind to offer his time and come along. And I really appreciate him, again, showing his support and helping us have an amazing day.
But first on today's episode, cash payments at council-run car parks in a part of Kent could soon become a thing of the past. Bosses in Dover are looking at ditching all existing pay and display machines and replacing them with cashless units instead. Now, it would force drivers to use contactless cards or mobile phone app payments instead. Well, our reporter Sam Lennon has been finding out what some drivers think.
What do you think of this business of no more coins to pay for car parks?
I think it's unbelievable. I think obviously sort of my age and that we still don't trust the cards and the way that they do it when you pay by card. No, I'm always like to put coins in.
I don't think it's a very good idea. I do use Ringo if it's impossible to use coin or I simply don't have change, but I prefer to put coin in.
Why do you prefer coins?
It's easier. Ringo costs more. You pay a surcharge. I paid £2 this morning and I was only over there for 15 minutes. So that's quite a lot of money, really.
What would that have been in coins for 15 minutes?
180. Oh, yeah. Oh, for 15 minutes, I don't know. But I always do the hour in case I flow over.
Yeah.
But it was should be 180 an hour and I paid £2 an hour.
What do you think of this idea of ending coin payments?
I'm in disagreement. I find coin payments, everyone's got cash, you know, and especially, no offense.
How do you pay?
Cash.
Okay, you know? So you do, yeah.
You know,
keeping cash.
Yeah, he's keeping cash. We need cash.
Mm-hmm. Is your argument also that older people, I'm 62.
That's where I'm going.
Older people aren't that used to technology. I struggle with it sometimes.
Well, I'm 95.
Yeah, I'm.
And I don't.
She doesn't do technology, but she's not driving. I'm 67, and no, even I find it annoying, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'd much rather put my hand in my pocket, put out the coin, done.
I think it's a bad idea. Yeah, very bad idea. I mean, not everybody's got a card for a start. And I just think, in general, it's a bad idea. That's the way things are going, though, isn't it? I think, you know, everything seems to be going downhill, I think.
What's the problem with it? You say it's about it, that not everybody's got a card and probably this technology doesn't work. Is it anything like that?
It is. That's part of the reason. But I think a lot of people would rather put change in a machine rather than pay by card because they know they've paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people are caught out in car parks today where they were accused of not paying for the car park. If you've got coins and that, you know you've paid it and yeah, there's no argument.
Nothing, if something can go wrong with a card and it doesn't record a payment.
Well, exactly.
The potential change is going to be discussed by Dover Council's Cabinet at a meeting tonight and has been recommended for approval. Now, council officers say the switch is necessary because the authority's parking machines are ageing and increasingly unreliable. According to a report that's been published, the machines were actually bought back in 2014. They've got a life expectancy of about 10 years while their warranty expires started in 2017. Now, the council says faults are becoming more common, particularly involving cash mechanisms and chip and PIN readers. And we're told the use of cash has dropped significantly in recent years, falling from 38% of transactions in 2022 and 23 to just 20% in 2025 to 26, so the last financial year. Now, Bosses have sent us this statement. It says, "We recognise that removing cash as a payment option would impact some residents, particularly those who are elderly or less confident with digital technology. However, we have carefully considered this and are proposing a range of alternative payment methods remain available, including contactless card payments and pay by phone options." Well, we'd love to know what you think today. You can leave a comment within the story at Kent Online, and you can also vote in our poll today. We're asking how you would prefer to pay to park. We'll bring you the results of that poll in tomorrow's episode of the podcast.
Kent Online News.
Some crime news next, and a man who headbutted a security guard in the A&E department at Maidstone Hospital has been ordered to attend drug rehab sessions. Marcus Finch also threatened to stab people and damage walls by punching them after going into the emergency department last September. A 32-year-old who doesn't have a permanent address has been given a suspended sentence and ordered to pay compensation. An Ashford man who was found with a machete at his home has told a court he'd taken it away from his son's friend. Police searched Jason Weatherly's property on Tennyson Road in February as part of a drug dealing investigation. The 45-year-old admitted having the 12-inch knife and has been given a six-month conditional discharge. Let's turn to politics now, and there's real pressure on the Prime Minister following local election results. Labour lost over 1,400 councillors and 40 local authorities in England, while Reform made significant gains. There were also good results for the Green Party and the Lib Dems. Well, Reform councillor for Swanscombe and Greenhithe, Thomas Mallon, has been on the Kent Politics podcast alongside Cliftonville Green councillor Rob Yates. They've been speaking to local Democracy reporters Simon Finlay and Dan Essen.
I think nationally, the mood is swinging. The public seem disinterested in the established parties. It seems as if there's a great void opening up, and it has to be filled by someone. And I think on the right, Reform, and maybe on the left, the Green Party are filling that void, because I think establishment parties have had their day, and the country is unarguably going down the pan, shall we say. We can see standards of living slipping, and we can see in even finance terms that we don't take in as much tax revenue off working people as we give out in benefits anymore. So we can see there's a great shift. And I think that the paradigm shift in itself now is going towards outside, say, the establishment parties. And people are saying, well, we've gave these establishment parties years, decades, hundreds, sometimes cent, to actually improve standards of living for people in this country. So they're looking to parties like Reform, like the Greens, and saying, well, these guys haven't done a good job. Let's give the new parties, give them a chance.
But Tom, this happens so quickly. I mean, that's the sort of remarkable thing about it. We've gone from a two-party state to a multi-party state literally within 2 years. It's remarkable. And I know that Reform were building sort of, you know, quietly in the background, you know, previously as the Brexit Party, and Farage coming back just before the general election obviously was a big reason for that. But, you know, Rob, what is it about the Green Party? I mean, that success is even, you know, has ballooned sort of even more recently than that. It was almost since last autumn when Zach Polanski was elected as a leader.
Yeah, well, I'd like to agree firstly with Tom. I think I met those on the doorstep who weren't undecided between Green and Reform.
Yes, I heard that a lot. Yes,
these residents and voters exist, and it does show that the established parties have let down the country. And I think the Greens' approach to that is: look, this is about the cost of fuel, the cost of water, cost of electricity, cost of food, cost of living has gone up, and the established parties don't seem to be talking about it.
You can listen to that episode in full by heading to the podcast pages of Kent Online. Elsewhere, a row's broken out over plans to introduce the Lord's Prayer at the start of full county council meetings in Kent. It's been suggested by the Reform UK administration, who also want members to sing the national anthem. Opposition parties say religion is a personal matter and it would be inappropriate to bring it into politics.
Kent Online reports.
A court's heard how police had to use Parva spray to bring a man under control as they tried to arrest him at his home in Medway. Officers had been called to Hayden Knoll's property in September last year. The 43-year-old from James Street in Gillingham was later charged with assaulting an officer. He's been given an 18-month community order. A group set up for victims of domestic violence has been banned from using an allotment in Sittingbourne after being accused of unruly conduct. Jane Pepler rented out the plot on Riddle Road as a safe haven for her and seven other women to talk and grow produce. They deny accusations of poor behaviour. The society that runs the site say they've acted in accordance with their procedures. A mum from New Romney has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer after her 12-year-old son noticed her eyes had turned yellow. Claire Gordon had just returned from a trip to Thailand when Caleb spotted what turned out to be jaundice. She's now due to have surgery and plans to return to Thailand to continue teaching. A 30-mile stretch of railway in Kent is going to close for 9 days later this month. The line from Ashford International to Borough Green and Rootham Station will be shutting next Saturday and won't reopen until after the bank holiday. Work is being carried out around Maidstone East to reduce rock falls and improve drainage. The track also needs to be replaced between Harrietsham, Lenham and Charing. Now, at the start of Mental Health Awareness Week, work is underway at a Kent school to recruit wellbeing ambassadors. Students at Herne Bay High are going to be trained on how to spot issues and have meaningful conversations. It fits in with this year's theme of taking action and moving away from awareness to practical steps to make a real change. Well, Simon Dolby is from East Kent Mind.
We've been developing an East Kent Mind wellbeing ambassador initiative, which we've been testing and running very successfully at the University of Kent. It's now spreading to Christchurch University, but it's up to now it's been predominantly aimed at adults and in particular young adults. But today we are taking it as a pilot to Herne Bay High School, and we're going to be delivering a session to some of the students there. And so very exciting for us to be able to adapt it for that younger audience.
Tell us a bit about how it works then, Simon, and how well it's been received amongst students.
So it's got two strands to it. There is a mental health awareness training with optional extra training modules that they can plug into. Everything's free, alongside some volunteering social action opportunities. So where we started it with certainly the University of Kent students was that they wanted to do volunteering, but just having a line on their CV really didn't look sufficiently gravitas for what they wanted to do, because they wanted to do everything, these students. And so that's sort of where the program got devised and developed. And yeah, it just seems to have really caught the imagination of all age groups, not just young people. You know, we've got people older than me doing it as well these days. So it's really going great guns, and no surprise really that secondary schools are biting our arm off and wanting to have a piece of it as well. Their social action, their volunteering will be restricted to what we do with them on campus, because we've got to, you know, ensure that we've got all the safeguarding elements in place.
But as far as the training is concerned, how much vital knowledge does that give people really about identifying those who might be having a mental health crisis or just be, you know, in need of someone to talk to?
So absolutely, we look at some of the signs and symptoms of anxiety and depression so that you can spot it in yourself and in your mates or family members. But also we touch on suicide ideation, you know, a whole range of different topics are done. It's all very light touch. The basic training, for example, the first module is only 90 minutes long. And it also creates some awareness about what East Kent Mind actually delivers. The aim really is just to give someone a confidence that they can start engaging in a conversation about mental health. We are, as human beings, terrified that we're going to put our foot in it. And so when somebody starts to open up, often our initial inclination is to just sort of either pretend that they didn't say it or, just try to move the conversation on. And what we want is the individuals who are ambassadors to feel confident enough to have a conversation. They're not trained counselors in any shape or form, but we want them to be able to be brave enough to have that conversation. And that's what this program achieves.
Thanks ever so much to Simon for chatting to us. We'll keep you updated on that project. Kent artist Dame Tracy Emin has joined a campaign by Transport for London, raising awareness of non-visible conditions. She's recorded station announcements as part of their priority seating week. The 62-year-old who lives in Margate has previously spoken out about hidden disabilities after having major surgery for bladder cancer. A Kent primary school has been judged exceptional by Ofsted in 6 out of 7 areas. Lee Academy Oaks in Maidstone was praised for its teaching, leadership and personal development. Bosses reckon it's the best result in the country since new grading was introduced.
Kent Online reports.
Residents in Canterbury say plans to turn a car park into flats would be a travesty for the neighbourhood. The site on Rosemary Lane has been closed since 2020 and developers have submitted proposals for 3 new buildings containing 146 studio apartments. They insist it'll be good for the area, but people living nearby are worried about it being too big and noisy. A Rochester tapas restaurant has been fined £15,000 for failing to clear waste. Rico Sabor Limited was reported to Medway Council for having excessive debris behind its premises, which was spiralling into adjoining land. The council's environmental enforcement was alerted in January 2023. An investigation was conducted and confirmed the report. Now, Asda has completed a long-awaited revamp of an empty site in Folkestone after being taken to court. The supermarket company was ordered by the council to carry out work on the old Store 21 shop in Bouverie Place in 2023, but failed to comply. It's been derelict since 2016, and Asda is responsible for that site but hasn't confirmed any news about its future just yet. Now, this is one of our most read stories on Kent Online today. A long-awaited air show at Manston Airport has been cancelled for a second year running. The news has left people very disappointed. Well, Lucy has been taking a look at this story and joins me now with more details. So, first of all, Lucy, tell me a bit about this event.
Well, the Manston International Air Show was supposed to take place on the first weekend of June after being postponed last year. Aircraft from the UK and overseas had been lined up to appear, including historic warplanes and aerobatic displays. Organisers had also hoped to secure an appearance from the Red Arrows. It would have been the first major air show at Manston in more than a decade.
And what do we know about the reason it's been cancelled?
There's a statement from the organisers who say they've failed to alleviate concerns raised by the Civil Aviation Authority. They claim the team has done everything in their power to resolve airspace safety issues, but guidance hasn't been clear enough. They've expressed sadness and frustration at having to make the decision.
So importantly, Lucy, what about people who've bought tickets?
They're being promised an automatic refund by the end of May, but it has sparked a lot of disappointment. Organisers say they're now turning their attention to plans for a possible air show in 2027.
Lucy, thanks ever so much. A luxury hotel and golf resort in Kent has asked for permission to build a country club-style expansion, including a luxury spa. The Cave between Canterbury and Faversham is planning to spend millions on the development, which will also include paddle courts and extra rooms. If approved, it will be partly funded through the sale of 24 self-build housing plots on nearby land. A Kent charity is celebrating a record-breaking year for breeding hazel dormice. 29 of them have been born at Wildwood Trust near Herne Bay. Their species has declined by 70% in the UK since the year 2000. The new mice will be released into woodland in the north of England. And Code of Silence, which stars Kent's Rose Ailing Ellis, won the award for Best Drama Series at the BAFTAs last night. The show is about a deaf woman who uses her lip-reading skills to help the police.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent looks set for a testing run chase on the final day of their county championship match against Gloucestershire. The home side are due to resume on 251 for 9 in their second innings at Bristol. That's a lead of 249 runs, with Kent yet to have their second go with the bat. And finally, a leading disability golfer from Kent is hoping to encourage more children into the sport. Kit Popert is currently world number one after winning the US Adaptive Open three times and the G4D Tour. He's invited some of the biggest names in the sport to the London Golf Club in Sevenoaks today and has been telling me all about it.
The event today is the inaugural Kit Popert World Invitational. I've been very fortunate the last 4 or 5 years to be sponsored by a charity called Variety Golf, who help raise money for disabled children by the providing school buses to disabled schools so kids can access the community, sport and education. And disabled golf has been growing the last 4 or 5 years, but still opportunities for prize money and player stipends are very limited, well, non-existent. And so my event, we came up with the idea to host an 18-person pro-am just before the G4D Open, which is run by the RNA, which is our British Open, because I want the strongest field possible to be playing in the event, whilst we're also providing three school buses for three local disabled schools. One of them is being raised money by the event, is paying for it, and then the other two have been kindly donated. And then we're also funding 50 disabled children to have 12 months of golf lessons and providing a clinic on the day for 20 disabled children to try golf.
I mean, it's fantastic. And I'm sure it's really going to raise the profile of disability golf. And as you say, give some young people a brilliant opportunity. And you've got some big names coming along, haven't you?
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate to Colin Montgomery, who's attending, and he's, you know, I really appreciate him using his status in the game to shine a light on what we're trying to achieve and where we think golf has the biggest room to grow is in disabled golf. It's a 1 in 6 people in the world have a disability, and golf's a great sport for disabled people to get involved in. And we also want to highlight that elite disabled golf is at a level where we think it should be championed. And Colin Montgomery's been very kind to offer his time and come along, and I really appreciate him, you know, again, showing his support and helping us have an amazing day.
Absolutely. And of course, Kip, you have been yourself incredibly successful. But can you tell us a bit about your disability and how you ended up getting into golf yourself?
Yeah, so my disability is called cerebral palsy, and the type's called spastic diplegia. It means it affects my legs, and it means the muscles in my legs are very tight and contracted. So if people were to do a calf raise, that's how my calves are constantly, for example. So the muscles are very short and tight. And how I got into golf was I started when I was 3 years old. My dad was learning to play. And it was just something I got three younger siblings. So it was something I just got to do with him, just me and him, spend 4 hours with him. It was quite special. And he's extremely competitive. And I guess that rubbed off on me. And yeah, I'm very fortunate to have found my passion so young. And that's led me to so far have a nice career after uni and played all over the world and won a few championships, which, you know, I now want to just make sure that my dream as an 8-year-old was to be world number one, and my dream as maybe a 27-year-old is to do something useful with it.
Hope Kip and everyone else going along has a fantastic day. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.